those who are being sanctified for all time has been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. And I want us to go to, and this is our verse, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So like I said, it's the gospel is what we need. As believers, the gospel is that second chance, the fact that we fail and fall short continually. It's the gospel that opens up the door that we can actually have relationship with God and continue having relationship with God. It's because of that that we can live and have hope. And I think it's Aubrey's word, just explain that to me a bit, but we can be self-righteous and think the gospel is for the others out there because we've been made whole. And it's almost like having a room, a storeroom, that is too full with stuff. And if you open it up, you can't take anything out. You can't go in because it's just too full. And sometimes our lives are full of that almost self-righteousness of feeling righteous because of what we've did. But we need to realize that it's because of what Jesus did. So Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all, in our best attempts as humans, we fall short of who God is, of His standards, of being able to pay for our sins. We're not even in contention to pay for our sins. It's impossible. Because of our inherent nature, it's impossible for us to pay for our sins. I had a random rugby example, excuse me, but it's like saying the All Blacks play against Namibia and the All Blacks need to score 1,000 points in that game to win. They start with a minus, let's say, minus 10,000 points. Even the All Blacks won't be able to win Namibia with 10,000 points, even though they're one of the teams that have scored the most points. And in that watered-down example way, we're just so way in the negative that even in our best ability, we are not able to come to God because on our own merits. There's nothing that we can do. If we did it perfectly, even then we fall short. So inherently, it's almost foolish for us even to think in that way, to think that we can come to God in any way and boast. But as scripture has said, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is that my timer? And the wages of sin is death. So the effect of that is death, Romans 6:23. So the deserved effect is also death, eternal death. So I have, again, a picture of how I think many of us see ourselves before God. It's me before God. And in order to draw close to God, that it says there, good works, I have to approach God in my good works. We might not believe it, but sometimes that's the way we act. We bring out our good works, but we all know somewhere we're going to fail. Somewhere we're going to fall short. And I had this at university. I wanted to join the swimming team. I come from a small town, so I was number one in swimming, but when you come to the bigger towns and they're just like, coach, like, no, I don't know who you are, I don't know about your school or nothing. But if you follow this training program, maybe we can consider you. And I wasn't that good at discipline at that time, so I thought, I'm going to work hard and earn my place in the training squad. And, you know, the fantastic news is I never earned my place on the training squad. I just didn't have it in myself. And many times that's how many of us feel towards God. We know it's good. We know we need to be good people. But ultimately, we fall short of it. And self-righteousness can almost become then in that a fake placeholder for righteousness. So we say we're righteous, but it's almost we have a placeholder in that. It's a fake one, a facade of righteousness that we're trying to put up. So obviously, we know by now that we cannot come to God in our own strength, and that it's by the blood of Jesus that we can come to God. He has paid for us. It's not our good works or attempt of good works that would do that. And where we then sometimes find ourselves as in the world is we need to do more. I have a Garmin watch that gives me a training status, you know, and it's very conditional. I have to perform. If I get fit, I have to train even more to stay on maintaining a good fitness level. So it's almost like I can never stay there. I'm never good enough to get in that performance mode because it always is just more and more. And sometimes that's how the world works, because the more we do, the more we are successful, the more we're accepted. That's how it works at work. And in many, many dynamics, and we tend to carry that, though we know it's not right, we bring that to our relationship with God. We think that if we do more, we can earn our righteousness. And we're maybe not thinking, hey, I'm earning my righteousness, but at the back of my mind, we find peace in what we've done right. But you know what? That tower comes tumbling down as soon as we do something wrong. Then suddenly it feels that I'm not righteous. I've missed it. Look at the evidence in my life, how I've missed it. I'm not made righteous. And we almost fall back into that place of then, okay, now I'm going to try again. Somewhere I'm going to get my hopes up again and I'm going to start doing stuff so that God would accept me. Whether it's quiet time or whatever happens. And we try to earn our salvation. We basically say that my ticket to the kingdom is earned through doing good works. But we know that's completely wrong, because it's impossible for us to earn our salvation. Inherently, like I mentioned earlier, it's impossible. We're so far negative in the sin. Because of Adam, he was the first man, sin came through him, and we inherited that. So we have this big debt of sin, even just in Adam, but then just as human, in our human nature, that's part of our human nature, we're entrenched in sin. And the penalty of sin is death, like we have seen. So we cannot even bring out the best.
We've never done this before.
It's co-preaching.
Co-preaching.
Hybrid model.
I just see quite a few of the believers who's been believers for longer at risk of again thinking Jacques is preaching to someone else. And you still don't understand that the gospel is for you. And so because I hear a lot of conversations, not only with you, but a lot of Christians. So many people have been following God for long. Like, they really like talking about the things that they've done. Then when you talk to them, they don't talk about the grace of God. They talk about the fact that they've done this for 10 years. They've done that thing for so long. They've been through all this. They've led many mission teams. They've been worship leaders. They have, you know, they've seen many things in church. It seems to me sometimes the more older believer you get, the more you realize that you need this, but you don't think so because you somehow have passed it, and you haven't. And you're at a worse place. Because now that tank's filling up. That's what self-righteousness is. Like, don't come to me and say, hey, like, yeah, I've been so, you know, us who are more mature and us who've been walking with God longer and understand these things. And like, I hear so much self-righteousness in Christians who've been walking for long. That when you would hear a message like this, you almost switch off and think it's for people who don't yet understand their salvation. But somewhere deep down, when you do something right, you feel really good about it. And when you do something wrong, you feel really terrible about it. And that's fruit of this. So don't, like, lean into this. I need to lean into this. Because there's some conversations where I'm in with more senior leaders than me, where I'm tempted to, like, also tell them what I've done so that I can also be accepted, so they can also go, okay, wow, you seem to be a real Christian leader. And I'm tempted to base it on what I've done, but Paul didn't do it. Paul, on the contrary, said, I'm wretched, but I understand the gospel. So just lean into it. I don't know how long you've walked with him. This is deeper in. This is healing away from that self-righteous place where we somehow think, by now surely I should have built up some righteousness of my own. I've been walking so long. Just let go of that, because there's a lot of failure that can come your way once you realize that it wasn't so as solid as you thought. And a lot of freedom if you just stay rested in this more and more. Go preaching.
Amen. Thanks. Yeah, we must just remember to put Debbie's name on the recording as well. Yeah, but amen. Yes, yes. And remember, that time didn't count to my time now, so I pause the clock. I'm going on. But just, I see in part, and I mean, what's been great, side note, but just like with intercession and words that have been coming, collectively we see, and that's also why we need the different gifts in church, because everyone brings a different angle. I mean, Ruth thought of posting that message on Tuesday on the church group and typed it out, and I'm just like, yeah, that's so perfect. That's exactly, but and in the same way, we just need each other in that. So thanks for that, Diabia. Okay, so you can go on. So that's obviously how we get saved, how we come to the kingdom. We believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths. It's not only confessing with our mouths, but there's a reality in our hearts as well. So then, if we go on, it's always good, like, when you're in the mall, just to really understand where are you in all of this. So maybe there's a lot of arrows, I know, but if you can. So if you're justified in God, having accepted Christ, then from that on going forward, that's where good works come in. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, good works is part of our inheritance to walk out, but it's not the way to salvation. Catholic tradition says good works leads to salvation. It's the other way around, in terms of if you look at what the Bible says. So sanctification is a lifelong process. Spoke a little bit about that picture of when we come to Christ, we have new ownership. It's like land that has new ownership. You still sin, you're the same person, your character needs to be renewed. The power of sin, the effect of being delivered from the power of sin is still a process. The penalty of sin has been paid through justification, but sin still has a hold on your flesh. But so even if you then you walk in sin, it's obviously because your flesh also needs to be renewed. but you have new ownership, so to speak. You're no longer your own. Colossians 1 verse 16, you've been delivered out of a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. There's new rules to the kingdom that you're in. It's like going from one country to another. Let's say you were in Namibia, you abide by Namibian laws. Now if you go to a new country, there's new laws. And in the same way, before we're saved, there's obviously rules that applies to us that changes when we come in Christ. There's new rules with that. It's now in Christ that we have salvation and we earn our salvation. So just in terms of ownership, having been transferred, you're a new creation. Then maybe moving on to what Debbie also mentioned, that verse says, to everyone who believes. To everyone who believes. So what do you believe? Because now you do sin and you start doubting, are you really righteous? Because we're all governed by underlying beliefs that we believe. So to have faith, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not see and experience you being completely sanctified. That's the reality of it. But like Abraham, Romans 4, where God says that he believed God for things that weren't as if they are. And that's what God sees in us when we are justified. Like Stuart mentioned last week, our sins are completely removed. God forgets our sins, but we need to renew our minds as well to come in line with this new reality. We've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. There's new rules. Our mind still works in the old way. We want to walk in the new way, but it's almost like we need an upgrade to new software. We're still running on the old software, and then we're wondering why are we acting in that way, but it's because we're still running on the old download or something, if you want to use that example. So it's our underlying beliefs, and that's why it's important. What do you believe? Because it's to everyone who believes righteousness by faith. Abraham was made righteous by his faith, and so are we in Jesus. There I have that scripture again, just that by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So Jesus did it once, legally. If ever is a legal office in heaven, think of it like this. Legally, you have been redeemed. But now, you're still on earth. Maybe you didn't get that copy of a paper. It's not filed in your brain to say, hey, you're a renewed creature. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now it's that process of sanctification. And then for us, in knowing what we need to believe, we need to look at Romans 12 verse 2 that says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So we have that underlying beliefs that affects our feelings, that then affects our actions, head, heart, hands. But we're in a new kingdom, so we need to renew our minds according to that way, so that we can walk according to it. Because otherwise we get to a place where we don't feel saved because of the things we do. But in reality, we're justified. It's just our mind hasn't been renewed by the truth. So we've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. We have new ownership. And, you know, that picture of a castle, if you can get up there. I feel there's a place, I don't know if one can see it. So I'm not commenting on the social aspects of it, but just follow me in terms of a picture of having squatters, lies in your mind, making camp. And they then basically have a rule of law. Physically lies, our brain forms patterns around what we believe. And it's almost like our minds can then get stuck in old ways. And there's a place where God wants to come and clean that out through his truth. New ownership. So there's almost an eviction notice that we need to do in terms of lies that we believe. Things that has been holding us back in terms of following God. When do you not feel righteous? Think of that. Maybe let's go to the next verse. I'll come back to that one. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 5 as we land this plane. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. See, there's things in our minds that do not obey the truth of Christ, for which Christ has set us free. And by us allowing that to just stay in our minds, just affect our behaviors and things, we're almost giving it dominion, although we've actually already been justified. So this morning, as we end off, how do we go about that process of renewing our minds in this context, apart from obviously reading the Bible and all that? And just want to also mention this, it's not by power nor by might, but by His Spirit. It's not, discipline is great, it has its place, it's necessary, but it's not the discipline that delivers us, you know, because that takes us back to self-righteousness. Now I've done the Bible reading plan, I've made the tick, and then we feel good about ourselves again, and you know, the devil just catches us again. So it's not about that, but the Spirit comes and does it in our hearts. Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, obeying rules and laws, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. So you can almost forget how many Bible schools have you done, all of that, but it's in the Holy Spirit. So we need relationship. We need to lean into what is the Holy Spirit saying to us. So in our journey of sanctification, we need to rewire our brains accordingly, like Romans 12 verse 2 says. And I want to maybe leave us with this. What areas in your life do you not feel justified or righteous in? Because maybe that should be something either. Maybe there's sin to be repented of, but the fact is that Jesus made us righteous despite whatever we do. And it's good to acknowledge, if you can go to that last line, sorry. It's good, I'm just adding to, me and Debbie are co-preaching, so I guess I can change his model a little bit for that. It's not changing, it's just adding, but I'm not changing his model, this is just another thing. But so let's just say I think it follows the same pattern, but acknowledging what is that area where you don't feel righteous, obviously based on the fact that you've already come to Jesus, you have surrendered your life. Maybe that sin, maybe whatever is it, acknowledge it. What is the effect that it's having on you? Where do you see its effect? What's the cause that it's having on you? Maybe it's doubting God. Maybe it's not having you hunger more after Jesus. You know you want to, but your flesh doesn't. What's the effect of it? And then embrace the truth. What is the truth about the lie that you are believing? Read this. Take the truth and then don't only look at the truth, receive it. You need to receive the truth. The Holy Spirit needs to come and do that in your heart. It's not a left brain acknowledgement of a truth, only even declaring it. Great. Memorize scripture. I love that. That's amazing. But that's not where it ends. You need to receive that reality. Amen. Okay, that's under 30 minutes on my watch. Let's, if a band wants to come up, and just want to open a place for ministry. You can do this on your own as well, but if there's anything that you just want to bring to God or confess in prayer, maybe if I can ask as we stand, switch off the lights, I can ask a few people to be here in the front to pray. Just if there's anything that you want to come and bring in that. That's, if you think, am I righteous? And you've surrendered your life to Jesus. what are those areas, and come and either confess or just, let's just pray through that.
Just want to ask the ushers to hand out the communion, please, as we close with some ministry time. If you need to respond and just pray with someone into some of these things, because I realize sometimes this model is easy to follow until I do something really bad, like being an idiot with my wife, and I don't feel righteous because that's really bad. Like, okay, I need to figure this out. So we still have to, like, many of us still have to go through those things. So we actually don't want to call people to the front unless it's for a specific altar call. We just have this area over here as a ministry area. So let's say from that couch where Fred's sitting, hello Fred, all the way around here, that's just our ministry area for now. But like, please come to the front and pray with one of the leaders right now. As we're going to do communion, because the beautiful thing of this is that if you change what you believe fundamentally, you change what you think, that changes how you feel, that changes what you do. That's how it works. So if you really believe that you're righteous, you'll feel righteous, you'll do righteous, and that's sanctification right there. So let's lean into this as we close with a song, and we'll do the communion, and then because of all the activity that happened this morning during announcements, we forgot a very, very precious thing, and that's that we're going to pray for Carly, that we're sending to India to go and work in a missions hospital in India for a while, for an internship. So we're going to lay hands on her too. So we'll be efficient and intentional and intense with Jesus for the next 5 minutes, okay? And then we're going to pray for Kari too. Let's worship, and then I'll lead us in communion. And while we worship, please come pray with someone. Amen? Let's do that. Thank you, band. Thank you, leaders, ministry team leaders. You can come to the front. Let's worship and pray, and then I'll lead us in communion.